Hello, my name is David Eagle. Thank you for listening. For the last few weeks, I've been given the privilege to go in to various primary schools in Hartlepool and record some of the children singing their own songs, reading out their own poetry, stories, performing drama, all harnessed around Hartlepool's rich history and heritage, the history of Old Hartlepool, the headland. I'm a member of a folk music group, and we sing a lot of local songs about the history and heritage of Hartlepool. And also in that folk group is my good friend, Sean Cooney, who has been going into primary schools for the last few months and teaching the children about the history and heritage of Old Hartlepool. But he hasn't been teaching them this purely in the classroom, using textbooks or anything like that. He's been taking them out to the headlands to show them places of historical interest and giving the children the opportunity to meet with some of the older residents of the headland to talk about how the headland used to be and what life used to be like. Over the next 30 minutes, you're going to hear the fruits of some of that work. As I say, you'll hear children's songs, stories, poetry and drama, and you'll hear some of the questions that the children have been asking the older residents of Hartlepool. You're not going to be hearing much at all from me or from Sean particularly. You're mainly going to hear from the children from these various primary schools: St. Bega's, Clavering Primary School, Westview Primary School and St. John Vianney's. And you'll also hear the voice of Alan Craggs, who's lived on the headland for many years. It's people like Alan and the various older residents of the headland that have inspired these songs and stories that the children have created. But first, here is Alan Craggs introducing himself and the headland.
Hello, my name's Alan Craggs. I've lived on the headland since 1946. I was born in Henrietta Street, and I went to Throston School, which is actually where St. Bega's is now. I've done various jobs on the headland. I've been a fireman, I've been a coast guard, I've worked at the hospital as a driver, but I've got to know everybody, because the headland being the headland, it's like a small village, and everybody knows your business down here. But when I was a kid, everybody did know your business. They knew you. If you'd done wrong, everybody knew who you were. You couldn't hide. There was no hiding place down here.
And that sense of community that Alan's talking about is one of the things that's really driven this project. The children have been able to learn so much because the older residents of the headland have been so willing, so keen to share their stories. Now, Sean took some of the children from St. Bega's Primary School to interview some people who were knowledgeable about the old Hartlepool lifeboat service. And it was this information that the children gained from these conversations and the stories that they were told that inspired our first song.
Now we're going to sing Hard on the Oar, and it's about a lifeboatman and he goes to save people on the sea.
The original lifeboatmen of Hartlepool didn't have any modern equipment, but armed only with a woolly jumper, a pom-pom hat and a cork life vest. They would bravely row into the North Sea to save lives.
Up from your bed, Johnny,
hard on the oar,
and with your pom-pom hat,
hard on the oar,
just like your dad and his dad before.
Hard on the oar, Johnny,
bridle the horses, Johnny,
hard on the oar,
launch her in the bay, Johnny,
hard on the oar,
though the wind does howl and the sea does roar,
hard on the oar, Johnny, hard on the oar.
Don't be afraid, Johnny,
hard on the oar,
be brave and bold, Johnny,
hard on the oar,
think of the men lost forevermore,
hard on the oar, Johnny,
now the job is done, Johnny,
hard on the oar,
pulling in for home, Johnny.
Hard on the yard.
You saved many lives, and you'll save many more.
Hard on the yard, Johnny. Hard on the yard.
St. Bega's Primary School with their own song, Hard on the Oar. A testament to the bravery of the lifeboatmen of Old Hartlepool. It's time to join Westview Primary School, and this is all about a story that Sean told some of the children of Westview Primary School, the legend of the moving church. And I don't know, we've got Alan with us here. I don't know if you want to tell them briefly about what the moving church was all about, the moving church story is all about, before we hear this poem.
Yes, yeah. They decided the church could be done with being a little bit further down the hill. It was in the wrong place, the church. So the vicar thought so. He asked his parishioners if they'd push the church further down the hill. And what they did is they put the courts at one side, all went to the other side, and started to push the church. And when they went back after a few hours, there was no courts. So they all surmised that the courts were underneath the church and the church had moved.
I think a logical conclusion to come to, Alan.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to enjoy this now. You're going to hear the... they've done a great poem about this, and they've also put a lot of sound effects to it as well to conjure up the image. So we're going to transport you to this very scene.
Once upon a time in Hartlepool, where the northern winds there blew so cruel, there came a new vicar, and no one was slicker, for he was nobody's fool. One morning when the wind gave a chill, the crofters had some time to kill, when they overheard the vicar say, "Ooh, it would be better if the church had been built down the hill." So they set about trying to move the church to get the nice vicar out the lurch. They put their backs into it, saying, "I reckon we can do it." But of course they couldn't move the church. But then came a local scally then, decided to play a trick on the men. While they looked the other way, she stole their coats away and hid them in a secret den. The crofters were so full of grief, but they couldn't think of it being a thief. One of them did say, "Maybe it moved the other way, and maybe now the coats are underneath." So for the rest of the long summer's day, the crofters tried to push the church the other way. They pushed for so long that their armpits did pong. And their ghosts are still pushing it today. Oh, they huffed and they puffed and they guffed. And they guffed and they puffed and they huffed. But with all the huffing and the puffing and the guffing and the buffing, they didn't huff or puff or guff enough.
The sounds of huffing, puffing and guffing and buffing, courtesy of Westview Primary School. Excellently read and an excellent poem as well. And as you heard there, we asked the children what kind of sound effects they would use to conjure up the scene of what's happening around them. And obviously they came up with answers like the sound of the howling winds on the sea and the roar of the sea and the waves. But also, as you heard in that poem, their imagination stretched a bit further. How would we react to the stench of armpits? And what noise would you make if you were a little bit chilly? And we got them not only to imagine these sound effects, but as you've just heard there, to put these sound effects into the poem as well. And we had great fun getting them to come up with their own sound effects. And I've got one particular anecdote which I'll share with you at the end about one of the children who was a master at one of the sound effects in particular. But that's not the end of the moving church story. We visit St. John Vianney's school very shortly to hear a self-penned story. And this is a story from Caleb from St. John Vianney's school who'll be telling us about how the crofters got their revenge on the thieves. It's time to rejoin St. Bega's Primary School, and we're going to hear now what is a traditional folk play, what's called a mummer's play. And this play has been partly written by Sean and the children of St. Bega's Primary School, and it's a traditional folk play with a bit of a Hartlepool twist, let's say. Some quality acting. This is the creme de la creme of the acting world. This is the future of acting. Big names are in the making here. So I thought, really, I would jump on the bandwagon and interview them while they were still young, because then I can say I interviewed these when they were 9 and 10 year old, before the mass media got a hold of them. So we're going to hear the Hartlepool Pace Egging play very shortly. But first, here's a little interview with some of the stars of this play.
What you're about to hear now is St. Bega's Primary School acting a very brilliant performance of the Hartlepool Pace Egging play, and we have the star characters here. We have should we have a cheer for George. Is George here? Where's George? Hey, come out, George. Okay then, George, did you enjoy your fight with Lord Nelson?
Yes, even though I lost.
You lost? Oh dear, have we got Nelson here? What have you enjoyed doing this play?
Killing George.
Has that been your favourite part, has it, killing George?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that in real life though, surely?
No.
Excellent. So we've had Dr. Black, of course. You're a very clever doctor, aren't you, Dr. Black?
Yes.
So how do you manage to do it?
Practice.
Very good. So what have you enjoyed doing this play?
Just learning everything.
You've just enjoyed the learning process. And do you fancy going on stage?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, I'm sure we can sort it out. Excellent, we'll sort that out. And we had six callers, but one of them's gone home ill due to the emotion of this play, which you're about to hear. So we're going to do it. So this is St. Bega's Primary School, who are now going to perform for you the Hartlepool Pace Egging play.
Give us room to sport, for tonight within this very place we wish to resort. Resort and repeat to you this our merry rhyme, for remember all you men and maids that this is Easter time.
Jolly lads, all in one mind, we have come a pace egging, and I hope you prove kind. And I hope you prove kind with your eggs and strong beer, and we'll come no more nigh you until the next year.
The first to come in is Lord Nelson, you'll see, with a bunch of blue ribbons tied round by his knee, and a star on his breast like silver does shine, and I hope he remembers it's pace egging time.
In comes our Lord Nelson, the Admiral true and bold, who fought on deck and won the crowns of gold.
St. George stands at the door. He swears he'll come in with the sword and buckle by his side. He swears he'll run thy skin.
From old England sprung, my famous name throughout the world has rung. When a giant almost struck me dead, up I rose and cut off his head.
What makes your nose look so red?
It's 'cause I eat only bread.
No, you silly fool, the truth I tell, it's 'cause you love the ale so well. Ha!
I'll take thee and cut thee as small as flies, and send thee to the devil, make mince pies hot and mince pies cold. Step forward if you be so bold.
The hour is gone, the clock struck one.
Tip, tap, top, the fight's begun.
Ah!
jolly brown bags. With plenty of money, she's dressed in old rags. She's copper, she's silver, and gold in much star. She comes a pierce again and hopes to get more.
Oh, Nelson, what have you done? You've gone and killed me only son. A doctor, is there one? Doctor, doctor, come in, come.
The next to come in is old Dr. Black, who's paddled to Panama and back. He walks with a limp and he carries a pack, though he's old he still can quack.
How came you to be a doctor?
By my travels.
Where have you travelled?
Through Italy, Spitaly, Higgledy-Piggledy, France and Spain, through West Hartlepool and back again.
Anywhere else?
Yes.
Where?
From the top of me Nana's stairs to the bottom.
What have you seen?
I've seen houses made of snow with pancakes for slates, and black puddings for nails, and roasted pigs running through the streets with knives and forks in their cheeks shouting, eat me, eat me!
What can you cure?
The young, the old, the hot, the cold, the lovesick, the living and the dead, the itch, the stitch, the gallop and the gout, the plague within, the plague without, the plague that flies all round about. If there be 99 evils in a man, I'll bring 100 out. Here, George, take a little of my bottle and let it run down thy throttle. If thou be not be quite slain, arise, St. George, and fight again.
Huzzah! Huzzah!
The last to come in is old Benchy Bob. On his shoulder sits a frog. He washes in a frying pan. He thinks he is a jolly old man.
In comes I, that never came yet, with my big head and my little wit. Come, ladies and gentlemen, sit by the fire. Put your hands in your pockets and give us our desire. Put your hands in your pockets and treat us all right. If you give now, we'll take now.
Farewell and good night.
Excellent. The Hartlepool pierce egging play. I'm thinking the actor who played St. George there. Doctor Who, perhaps, in the future. I think it's only a matter of time before Doctor Who does have a Hartlepool accent. I mean, it's got to happen at some point.
Next, we have Caleb from St. John de Manny's School. It is called The Crofter's Revenge. This is how they took their revenge against the thieves who stole the courts. I still think they're underneath St. Hilda's, but we're not going to knock St. Hilda's down, sorry.
Well, you're about to find out now that that's not true, Alan, because Caleb, he tells us what really happens.
Right.
Hello, my name's Caleb. I'm from St. John Vianney's. The Crofters found that Charlie and Ben had stolen their courts. They decided to seek revenge. Late one evening, while the stars shone bright, Sean the Prawn and Billy Bob Bass decided to get their coats back. They crept silently along the freezing dark streets. The clock of St. Hilda's Church struck midnight. A black mist rolled in across Hartlepool Bay. Suddenly, there was a clap of thunder. Lightning streaked across the dark night sky, illuminating the house of Ben. The yard gate opened with a creak. They held their breath, but not another sound was made. Billy Bob Bass saw their coats on the washing line. Quick as a flash, he grabbed them and stuffed them into his bag. Glancing round, they spied Charlie's Wellington boots. Aha, just what they had been looking for. Sean opened the bag he had been carefully carrying all night.
Oh, a stink!
The rancid smell of fish guts rose into the air. Both men were almost sick. They tipped their slimy load into the waiting Wellingtons, and with a silent chuckle, they silently slipped away into the dark streets towards their next victim.
Excellent. Their next victim, Caleb says. Suggests that there's more to that story. Suggests that there will be a sequel. Well, I hope my production on that story, the sound effects and things, passed muster, because it would be an honour, Caleb, to produce your next epic story. And that story was excellently prefaced by Alan Craggs. and he's been talking to the children of St. Bega's about what life used to be like on the headland.
The children have been asking me what it was like while I was a child, what type of games I played, what smells there was and what different sounds. And it, today is totally different. It is really quiet on the headland compared to what it used to be when I was a kid.
What games would you play as a child?
Knocky, knocky, 9 doors.
We still play that.
You get into trouble now these days for doing that, don't you? Chopsticks. That's a good one. They have the, like the football, and now I don't know what you call it, and you throw it to the other side of the road and you hit the gutter and it bounces back.
Kirby.
Yeah. Well, we used to have a tennis ball. It didn't matter what size ball you had. And what you'd do is you'd get 9 sticks or more. It didn't matter how many it was, really. But you'd build them up to a tower of sticks. And you one side stood on one side and one side, and you had to throw the ball and knock the sticks apart until none of the sticks were touching each other. I mean, we used to make bows and arrows out of the old bits of wood. I've even seen us make canoes out of old houses, out the lats, with the canvas off the floor and pitch. And I used to know a lad who was really good at it. I know two, actually. I both made canoes, which actually sailed, which, if you think, you know. But we had to do things like that. And we played more games, I think, more street games. We didn't get told off as much either. I find kids today, if you play in the street, everybody will come out and complain because you're making too much noise, don't they? The trouble is, we're getting older and we can't stand as much noise as, you know. And to yous, it's not a lot of noise, but to us it is, the older people, if you think. But then, nobody ever complained. But yeah, but we had nowhere to go on a night, so we all stood in the street. And there was no as many street lights as what you have now. We'd have a gas light at the top of Brunswick Street. There was a fish shop over the road, so you got a little bit of light off Doris's fish shop.
But I always can't understand much. All these old photos, there's always people in the street, there's always people about, wasn't there, hanging around, yeah. And you never get that now.
I mean, my granddad's job was to go around and light all the gas lights. He was called a lamp lighter. And my father-in-law told me he used to follow them about and climb up the lampposts and switch them off.
Can you remember any sights and smells that aren't there now?
Smells?
Sights and smells.
Because there would have been a lot of noises that you don't get anymore. I always think it's so quiet, the headland, compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, but you used to have your smells then. I mean, you could go around the corner. I lived in Henrietta Street, as I say, and there was the smoke houses were all up there, and you could go and smell the kipper houses. You could smell all the smoky, and it was lovely. And we used to go and get the kippers, the broken kippers, and things like that.
Do you like kippers?
Kippers are fish.
Yeah.
My uncle always says to me, do you want kippers and custard for your dinner?
Kippers and custard, yeah. Sounds, everybody knew what time it was on a morning, lunchtime and tea time down on the headland. I think the first sound that was coming in would probably be the train coming in along.
And it'd
blow its whistle. And you'd get all the steam off it. We used to go and stand on the bridge and get all the steam as the steam train used to come in to the station opposite the co-op. And it also came in a little bit later, and it bring all the colliery lads who used to go to Henry Smith's school. And it used to go round the collieries, the train. I mean, trains run everywhere then. Still should now.
Now, the headland used to be a thriving fishing port, and many of these fishermen had superstitions. They wouldn't go out to sea in certain conditions or if certain things happened. And this inspired the children of Clavering and St. John Vianney School to come up with this song, the Salty Superstition Song.
The Crofters were fishermen and women of old Hartlepool. The home, the croft, was demolished in the 1930s. The Crofters were hard-working, honest people. They were very superstitious. It was unlucky to hear a girl whistle or ever say the word curly tail, and I can't use the proper word. They believe in wats. Wats are ghostly images of yourself, and if you've ever seen your own wat, you know your time is up.
This is a new song about the Crofters, the fishermen who came from Hartlepool. It'll fill your heart with awe. If you see any of the below, you'll be very unlucky. Now if you ever hear a girl whistle, or if you ever hear a seagull cough, you won't be having a laugh. If you ever see a waff, you'll be very, 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 very unlucky.
Now if you ever see a rabbit play a trumpet, or a tortoise do the Macarena dance, if you see a dancing tree, or a lorry in the sea, you'll be very, very unlucky.
If you ever see a dolphin playing dominoes, or a scuba diving pussycat, if you see a shipwreck floating or a lobster going boating, you'll be very, very, very unlucky.
And there's one word you just can't say, and if you hear it, you can't go to sea. You won't feel too big if you hear the word that rhymes with jig and fig and gig. You'll be very, 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 very unlucky. But there's a few things that you can do to bring yourself a bit of good luck. You can just run across the kitchen floor and shake the oven door, and you won't be so very, 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 very unlucky.
This is a new song about the Crofters.
The Crofters!
Fishermen who came from Hartlepool.
Hartlepool!
It will fill your heart with woe if you see any of the below. You'll be very unlucky.
No.
If you ever see a rabbit play the trumpets, or a tortoise doing the Macarena dance, dance, dance. If you see a dancing tree or a lorry in the sea, you'll be very, very unlucky.
No.
If you see a dolphin playing dominoes,
dominoes,
or a scuba diving pussycat,
pussycat.
If you see a shipwreck floating, or a lobster going boating, you'll be very, very, very unlucky. If ever you hear a girl whistle, or ever you hear a seagull cough, you won't be having a laugh if you ever see a wife.
The Salty Superstition song, as sang and narrated by the children of St. John Vianney's Primary School and Clavering Primary School. Well, thank you very much for listening to this. This has just been a very brief, I suppose, 30 minutes of some of the recordings that we've gathered of the children singing their own songs, reading their own poetry, stories and performing drama, all about traditions and the history and heritage of Old Hartlepool. We'll leave the last word to Alan Craggs, who'll tell us why he believes heritage projects like this are so important. But before that, I mentioned that we'd found a unique talent. Now, you've heard a lot of talented people reading their own stories, poems, songs, acting and that kind of thing. But there's one talent that stood out for me. And unfortunately, her talent has not yet been aired. And really, we couldn't find a place for it, unless I told this story as a little outtake. So, as I said, we were getting the children to imagine what kind of sound effects we might include for these various stories and poems. And you heard the song right at the start, Hard on the Oar, about the lifeboat men. And one of the lines is, bridle the horses, Johnny. And so one of the children said, well, we need the sound of a horse then, don't we? And I thought it may have been a bit flippant during the song if I just put the sound of a horse in there. You know, it would kind of ruin the atmosphere a little bit of the serious nature of the song if we had one of the children suddenly break out into a horse impression. At the time, we said, OK, then, who can do a horse impression? And one of the children put their hands up and came in front of the microphone and did this horse impression for us. Now, I don't want to belittle that horse impression. It's very good. It's passable. I think everybody would say, yeah, that's the sound of a child impersonating a horse. But I don't think it's 100% there. But it was at this point that one of the children said, you've got to get Kathleen. Kathleen is the horse impersonator. She does the impressions of the horses. Now, Kathleen wasn't even in our group doing this song. So we had to send for Kathleen from St. Bega's Primary School. She was in another lesson doing something entirely different. And we sent for her and said, sorry, I hope you don't mind. Can we borrow Kathleen for a minute? We just needed to stand in front of the microphone and just quickly do a horse impression. So the bemused teacher let her go. And she stood in front of the microphone. And this is Kathleen's impression from St. Bega's Primary School. This is her impression of a horse. Absolutely brilliant. I think we hear that one more time. There we are. And if her parents might not even know she does this. But I mean, that's got to impress Simon, Carl and Anton Deck, surely. Britain's Got Talent calls. So thank you to everybody who's been involved with this project. Sean Cooney teaching the children all about the history, all the old residents from the headland who we spoke to, including Alan Craggs, who we're going to hear final words from in a minute or so. Thank you to everybody from St. John Vianney's, St. Bega's Primary School, Clavering Primary School and Westview Primary School. Thank you to you for listening to this and hopefully you've enjoyed it. And we'll leave you with the final words from Alan Craggs, who explains why he strongly feels that projects like this, heritage projects like this, are so important.
I really enjoy doing it because this is passing on traditions. It's passing on history. I wish I had got really, somebody had sat down with our class and talked about what they'd done when they were children. When they, you know, people didn't do it then. People didn't seem to have the time to do it. Or it might have been the education system that didn't ask people to go into schools to do it. But now, it's such a community. Schools are really part of the community. And especially St. Bega's being part of the community, which is brilliant. Again, it's teaching the kids tradition and history of the headland. And this song is one of the best ways of teaching them. It's brilliant, as you say, is the kids really are enthusiastic about it. And even if there's out of a group of them, there's two or three of them remember. At least there'll be somebody else to pass the traditions on.
Thank you again for listening. From me, David Eagle, goodbye. Oh, go on then, one more time. Bye.